Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdrastuytse. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and we'll be joined with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family, and we have a question to ask and something to figure out. What would it take to create a policeless society? A policeless society. One in which everyone is self-managed and no one is in need of an armed force to make them behave. Well, that is possible because it has existed before. What were we doing before we had this military force occupying our communities, keeping us terrorized? Families were organized and taught correct behavior and values. And no, we didn't beat our children into submission. There are societies of higher evolved beings that simply do what is correct because they choose to. And there are no police. We can become such a society if we choose to. So today we're going to explore this possibility, this goal, and we'll listen to some information being shared by an author whose books have become world-renowned. And we'll listen to what it's like in a higher evolved society. So we want you to consider it. And we want you to give your thoughts and comments. Because in order for this to happen, we have to see it as possible and then do the things that would make it possible. So we ask you to join us as we join our American Muslim 360 family. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to answer the question, what would it take to create a policeless society? Can we make that happen in our lifetime? And what are the other issues in our society would we need to eradicate in order to make that possible? This is doable. So let's do it. We'll be right back after this quick break. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak. And we'll get your opinion on what it would take to create a policeless society.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Unmuted.
I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show, as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
And Grand Rising, we are back, and I believe we have been joined by our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family. And we are looking forward to this discussion today. And we want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak. We've already got some callers in the switchboard. And just press 1 when you are ready to make a comment. We will gladly open your mic and get your thoughts. Take a look at today's topic. And we have asked the question, what would it take to create a policeless society? Now, you have a lot of people that are angry at what has happened with police, that we are paying our money to protect the society. But if we can go back far enough in history, there was a time when there was not a police force forcing people to behave. Communities were self-managed. People acted according to what was correct because they understood the benefit. We were much more evolved in terms of our understanding of community and collective responsibility. Something went wrong, many things went wrong, and now we are, in many of our cities, not just America, but across the world, but especially in America, basically at the mercy of an armed occupying army that has totally gotten out of control. And it's not a matter of better training. It's a matter of us as a human family choosing to live according to codes of conduct and choosing to be self-managed and self-correcting so that there is no need for a police force. This is doable. In order to do it, we must first realize it's doable and then take the steps to make that happen. So today we're going to take some honest evaluations of what it takes to make that happen and what do we need to change in our thinking about ourselves, others, and even about God that would help us erase this nightmare that we have created. And this is a step toward striving to become the higher evolved beings that we have the capacity to become if we simply choose to be so. So we want to have that discussion today. And let me welcome to our show our dear co-host, Kareem Hamid. Assalamu alaikum. Grand Rising and peace be upon you all.
Wa alaikum assalam. Naima Latif. Alhamdulillah, Grand Rising, and peace be on us all this wonderful morning. Praise be to Allah. And this is a very interesting subject matter, very interesting topic that we will discuss this morning. There is a historical perspective that is tied to what we call police force in this country. Yeah. Policing. If we look at the history, if we study the history of police forces in this country, many of them were formed to keep the African American slaves on the plantation. They could not just walk about freely. they had to have a pass to go from one destination to the other. They could not just walk the roads. Any Caucasian could see them and ask them, do they have a pass from their master? If not, then they were threatened with violent assault and returned back to the master's plantation. The slave rebellions in the 1700s, you know, slaves, we didn't just lay down. They did not just passively accept their plight. They were held as prisoners. Last week on the Female Solution, I can't remember the brother's name, but he mentioned, no, they were not slaves. They were prisoners.
Right.
Brought here against
the might have been Kwame. It might have been Kwame. It was one of the callers, but yes, I remember that statement. And yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Obadiah. I think that was his.
Yeah, I think so. That reality that slaves weren't taken out of Africa. People were captured and imprisoned and then held and forced to work at gunpoint. That is
what
they were, which is totally different.
That's right. Prisoners and forced labor. Labor. And there are insurrections like Nat Turner, I believe it was Denmark Vesey, and others, where slaves rebelled and left the plantations and killed their masters and anyone else that looked like masters, you know, and the citizens became alarmed. How do we keep these captives? How do we protect ourselves from them? And police forces were formed. They were called patrollers. Patrollers. That's where we get the term. What do they call it?
Patrol cars. Police vehicles are called patrol cars. Yeah. Same function.
Right. They were same function. Also, it got its birth out of organized criminal gangs, especially in the Northeast, the area of New York. They were very violent Irish criminal gangs in New York. And the civic leaders of New York and the surrounding area, they employed them to carry out functions for them, to force people to vote a certain way and all of that. They were recruited policemen as policemen. Now, the idea of having a policeless state, it would require a drastic change in the citizenry of this country. It would require a drastic change, a moral change in the citizenry of this country. You know, I don't want to, as things are now, I believe that we do need some force to keep the peace and maintain the order. We need that because without that, we would have, at the present mindset of this country, we would have anarchy. We would have anarchy and violence from sea to shining sea. So it would require the citizenry of this country to make a drastic change that they themselves must personify justice, law, and order. And every citizen would be responsible for the safety of the communities in which we live. Every citizen would enforce the rules of the society. That there were groups formed called vigilantes, and I'm quite sure we've seen on cowboy shows someone would rob a bank, and the citizens would form what they called a posse, and they would go and hunt down the robbers of that bank. They call that vigilante justice, but the word vigilante comes from vigil, being vigilant, being watchful over the communities in which we live, to be vigilant in watching over the safety and the security and the welfare and the well-being of the citizens and the property of the areas in which we live. To me, that is the only way that we could not have a deputized, organized police force. But we do need a force that will enforce the rules of law, the rules of safety. We do need that. But even that force has to, it must go through a drastic moral change, a moral change to dutifully enforce the law in a more equitable and a more just way. You know, I believe that there needs to be psychological profiling done before you place people, you place strangers over the lives of the citizens of this country. What kind of mindset does that person have? What baggage do they bring with them, you know? So it's not just hire someone because they went through police training and you give them a badge and a gun and tell them to go out there and keep the peace. What is his mental bent? Are there any underlying motives, underlying context that will govern how he or she enforces the law? See, so we need a strong moral change. The citizenry and those that be placed in positions of authority over us. We need a moral shift, a moral change, a sense of right and wrong, a sense of fairness and justice in order to have a police-less society.
I'd like to expound on that thought, because truly, if the change happens inside the people, as you've stated, there will be no need for police. And so our task is to take the steps necessary to create the change inside of people so that they are self-managed and they are able to follow regulations and rules that are good for the collective body, and they do this voluntarily and willingly and not by threat of force. There are higher evolved societies, and we're going to share a bit about that after the break, where this is in fact a way of life, and we can create that, but there are things that need to be done in order for that to happen. It is doable. With that being the goal, we can follow the steps necessary to make that happen, because what we're doing now isn't working. Having an armed force terrorizing people, threatening bodily harm, that isn't making people do what's right. And no matter how many people we jail and imprison and banish from our society, it isn't making us safe. So what is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing the same way and expecting different results. Well, we should know after this amount of time that this doesn't work. But there is something that does, and we're going to share with you all societies that have eliminated such a structure and are living in peace. But I want to take some calls and some comments before we take a break. And we've got...
Before we go to a break, you know, now, I don't want us to be living in a rose-colored glasses. You know, right now, whole neighborhoods are held captive by organized criminal gangs. They have a rule called no snitching. In other words, I see you break in my neighbor's home, and if I tell on you, then I'm faced with physical assault. At one time, if we saw someone breaking in someone's home, we would alert the community, and people moved on that. But that's not what's happening now. There are whole matter of fact, in Haiti, the island of Haiti, it's been almost totally overtaken by criminal gangs. The government has collapsed. Their president was assassinated. But look and see the conditions of Haiti with no governmental departments operating, no law enforcement. Even the police are corrupt. So I'm only saying that that what we are living under now, we're living under the threat of violent street gangs. We are living under that. And people are afraid to speak up.
And that's a good point.
That's
a good point, because we now know what is. We are living under fear of each other because people are choosing to terrorize each other. And we've had people who have been employed to keep order, and they begin terrorizing people. Viata joined us on Facebook. She says, Grand Rising, beautiful sister. Yes, Grand Rising, too. Thank you, Viata, for joining us. She says, PTSD is probably present in many police officers. So, yes, mental evaluation and assessment are needed. So people who are seeing the worst of human behavior, they become the worst behaved human beings. That happens, post-traumatic stress disorder, being in a state of battle and warfare. That's what has happened. And so what we have doesn't work, and what we're living under is unacceptable. So we want to we're going to take a call, and then we'll take another call after the break. We're going to go to 314-677, and then after the break, we're going to come to 813-646. So hold on. We want to get your thoughts, and then we're going to talk about what are the steps to create a higher evolved society where there is no need for police. Those societies exist. How do we follow their example? We'll give you that information as we share some knowledge that has taken the world by storm and has certainly transformed thinking. But let me go to area code 314-677 Grand Rising. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment about this question.
This is Bianchi.
Bianchi.
You know,
good to hear your voice.
Maybe they need to have what the Bertha Guilty and them had in St. Louis at Cochran Garden under tenant management. And I think she also set up something similar there in Cabrini Green. And she was an awesome Black woman. Not many women can stand in her shoes. But let me tell you something. Tenant management, if you wanted to get the apartment, you had to put in an application. And tenant management had a group of people that would go over your application. If you had things in your application or in your background that they didn't think was presentable for their community, you wouldn't get an apartment. and that was it. Police departments are allowed to exist because of state constitutions. Case constitution allows the community to exist. Pine Line, Berkeley, Northwoods, all those municipalities are allowed, city of St. Louis, they're allowed to exist because the state constitution allows them to exist. And they're allowed to have police departments because the state legislature passes laws that gives the members of the police department the authority to use deadly force. And, you know, you have to consider one thing, too. You only got a certain segment of the population that's committing these heinous crimes in these communities. Maybe they need to be worked at, looked at. It's nothing wrong with the police. It's the people that they run up against that don't have the civilized, seemingly, training that they should have. You know, authority starts at home, goes to school, then it plays out in the public. I would say Chicago would be a good place to start any new reform. Anytime you can have 4,875 in 1 year shot and nearly that same amount the next year shot with 745 murders and then 640 some odd murders, that would be a good place to start these new ventures, I think.
Well, you made some very profound points. One of them being that it's not the majority of citizens who are actually misbehaving. It's the few, but everybody is reacting to those few who are out of self-control. And you have a state of fear that keeps us paying to try to control those few people, but then the people that we pay to control those few people, they believe they have to control everybody, and that's not necessary.
Well, the thing is this. When you're looking at for people, people dress alike, quote-unquote look alike. We've heard the old slang, the old commentary. Then it makes it difficult. You know, the one thing about criminals like to disguise themselves where they can blend in. So if the modern attire is long white T-shirts, Jordan tennis shoes, baseball caps, well, they're going to also do the same thing. I mean, they're not dumb, apparently. You know,
well,
another thing I want to mention.
Yeah, go right ahead. Before we take a break, already.
Another thing I'm going to mention, Africans that were brought here, just like in other societies around the world, many was expelled. Slavery wasn't nothing new. It had been going on for thousands of years where they come from. And that's the way communities do. When you got some riffraff in your community, you get rid of it by one or three ways. And, you know, I don't need to go through those. And they still do that today in some parts of the country. People, Shaka Zulu was given instructions to go to the neighboring tribe and steal cattle. He went there, stole cattle, and killed people. When word got back to the king, he was expelled and his group. Well, eventually he came back, but they expelled him. So when you have riffraff in your community, they expel it. They get rid of it. I mean, they do it today. They send them off to prison. We got three older people down in St. Louis that done some riffraff things. They go into prison. They was indicted. And possibly a former mayor.
Well, that's another thing that creates the situation that we're experiencing. Now, you pointed out a lot of the underlying conflict that was happening between African nations and the strategy to get rid of people that the rulers did not want in the nation. Just like now, it starts out with, well, let's get rid of our enemies, let's get rid of the undesirables, let's even make money off them and sell them off. Well,
I got a question for you.
Business. It was then it ended up not just the undesirables and just the enemies. It ends up being a global business of selling people for free labor. because once you start mistreating people as a means to solve a problem, it escalates, and that's what has happened now.
Well,
oh,
it
we're
may
just
be
going
a punishment
to prison
too.
The bad people, the misbehaving people. Well, now prison is such a big business that many people are being imprisoned, and even
now that I agree with you on
are being accused that didn't happen, and our criminal justice system has become criminal, feeding that enterprise. So it's interesting that you've made that observation, because that's exactly what has happened in terms of history repeating itself.
Well, yeah, people make money off of
that doesn't work.
People make money off of problems, just like your government school system. You got administrators, teachers, and principals that's making money. They don't give a care if these kids going to learn. They still getting paid. No other place, no other business, maybe a few, whereas you can put out those type of products, surely not your automobile. Oh, wait a minute, maybe vaccines. But no other industry where you can put out a product like that harms and doesn't show any level improvement that you can measure by data, does that allow to exist unless those that's running it is making money off of it. But, you know,
that's your key point. So we're going to take a break. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll come back to you after we take the next call. We'll come back. You make that other point. 813-646, you're up next. And we're going to take a break and come back, take your call. And we're going to share with you.
Yes, Minister Trump is on the AM360 board. I see his hand raised.
All right. Well, we want to give all of you a chance to share your thoughts. The more you share, the more we realize that this current system doesn't work. It has never worked, and it can't work based on the way we think about each other. And when we change the way we think, we can get rid of a policing system that eventually evolves to a state in which everybody becomes abused. Our brother just talked about how it happened in the past, and it is happening now. But there are higher evolved societies that are self-managed, and there are no police, and we can become one of them. So we'll be right back after this quick break. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment with more on the female solution and what would it take to create a policeless society. We'll be right back. So stay with us.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch the Media Connection.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hameen. Thursdays, Soul Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and Move Around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
We are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif. If you want to join me visually, you can go to YouTube or Facebook and just type in The Female Solution. And feel free to write your comments in the chat area. We'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we are here with our American Muslim 360 family and our co-host Kareem Hameed. And you can call in 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891 and simply press 1. And that lights your number up on our switchboard. Let's us know you have something to say. So today's question is, what would it take to create a policeless society? There are higher evolved societies in which there are no police. People are self-managed. There is no fear. We can get to that stage, but there are things we need to do. And we will choose to do them when we are tired of living in fear. Later on the show, we're going to share with you what a higher evolved society looks like. What are the people doing that have eliminated the need for police and the need to fear each other? We'll talk about that. And then set as our goal to create such a society ourselves. We can do this. Well, let's take another call. Area code 813-646, Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us. And give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments.
L.A., calling from Central Florida. There's several, right here in the United States, there's several policeless communities or societies or municipalities or whatever you want to call them that exist right now, and many of them have existed over 100 years. and you have to take into account they're actually over 19,500 municipalities in the United States, and I would say 100 of them, if not about a third of them, have no police force. The historic black townships, many of them don't have a police force. Now, one that's 45 minutes away from me right now, Eatonville, Florida. Eatonville, Florida has a population of a little bit over 2,000, about 2,300 people. 2,300 people, a little bit over that. They do have a police force, but what's interesting is, and Eatonville is over 100 years old. Eatonville is a community 6 miles outside of Orlando, Florida. It's in the same, it's in Orange County, same county that Trayvon Martin was killed in. But the thing is, once again, that now, but once again, within the county, anybody within, in 2023, if you find a geographical area within a particular county within the United States, you can start your own town if you wanted to. Just like I talked about this on this podcast before. Three black ladies out of Atlanta, Georgia, metro Atlanta, they found 2 hours outside of Atlanta, 96 acres of land. They're up to 502 acres. They came to the conclusion, you know what? We can't fix Atlanta's problems. So let's go out and start our own town. And they started, well, they started with 19 families. So my whole thing is there are plenty of policeless communities all across the United States right now, time-tested over 100 years old, and either move to one of those towns or start your own, which most people will not do. Because if you're looking to, like I'm from D.C. originally. I still have a house in D.C. I went rural because there was no way I can have I can have $1 billion. I can have $20 billion. I'm not fixing D.C.'s problems. I'll land my plane there.
So let me ask you this, L.A. What have you observed about these policeless societies that make it possible for people to live without fearing the misbehavior of their neighbors?
Well, first thing, it when it comes in, once again, we got 19,500-plus communities in the United States. So what I've noticed personally from experience and observation is the smaller the population, the less crime you will have. You probably can't eliminate all crime, but particularly the violent crime, because number one, everybody knows everybody. Number two, in a lot of these places, like I've got a place in Taft, Oklahoma, which is a historic black township, which predates the age of the state of Oklahoma. I can stay in Taft. Well, I know I bought a house there, and then the house hadn't been lived in for a while, for several years. So I opened up the front door. I slept for three or four consecutive nights with the front door wide open, absolutely no fear. There was probably one person walked by the house who was in, you know, he lived in Taft, and basically that was his routine. Every, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, he's coming, he's going from one place to another. But in Taft, which has a population of maybe no more than 350 people, everybody knows everybody. Now, does Taft have crime? They do. But it's typically from outsiders who come from Tulsa, which might be 45 minutes away, or maybe Muskogee, which is 15 to 20 minutes away. They'll come to town, and they'll vandalize houses that they know that are vacant and vacant. The families might have moved somewhere else, so they'll go in and steal an HVAC unit or something like that, or the copper pipes, you know, or look for the plumbing. Other than that, that's it in Taft. Now, they did have a police force of one several years ago, but the citizens said, you know what, we don't need that, so they operate without a police force, and the jail, it's a little small jail, okay? It's
like Mayberry with Andy and
smaller
Martin.
Smaller than Mayberry. But nobody, it's not occupied. You know, so that's the way. But you have several towns across the United States. Like I say, the three ladies that started the Freedom Georgia Initiative, which is like 2 hours outside of Atlanta, I think they just, I think psychologically, politically, they got it right. We're not going to fix Atlanta's problems. We're not going to fix D.C. problems. We're not going to fix Los Angeles problems. We can try, but it'll be just, it's a quicker fix if you do your own thing or move to a place, like, say, for me, 45 minutes away is Eatonville. They have police where they got about a little bit over 2,000 people. And, you know, you won't hear. Now, Florida gets a lot of bad news, as we all know, with violent crimes and all kind of crazy stuff, of course. But you never hear about nothing crazy coming out of Eatonville. I'll land my plane there.
Well, you know, you pointed out one of the essential qualities that makes such a thing possible. There's no anonymity. Everybody knows everybody. When you have large urban areas where people get disconnected, nobody knows anybody, when no one knows anybody, then nobody can hold anybody accountable. So that's one of the essential ingredients of having a policeless society, is that everybody is known. And another thing you pointed out that is an important factor in being safe, this isn't something that you can do in isolation. Because even if you have a community where everybody knows everybody, everybody agrees to behave in a way that doesn't infringe on anybody else's rights, and you can keep your doors unlocked, no one steals from anybody. If you have people outside of that community that don't follow those ethics, then you have to deal with outsiders coming in doing what nobody in the community would do, which is violate others. So this is a remedy that has to be not small community. It has to be a global solution. And it's possible. But the components of it still involve everybody knowing everybody and everybody choosing not to violate others. That is possible. And it does happen, as you said, on a smaller scale. But in order not to have outsiders who don't follow those ethical behaviors coming in and stealing from people and vandalizing people, they also have to be of the same mindset. And that is doable.
Oh, Naima?
Yes.
Yes. There's a small town here in Missouri. Kianke may be able to remember this. I can't remember the name of the town nor the name of this guy was a bully over that town. He would just take people's stuff. He would physically assault people, and everyone knew it. You know, they got tired of him, and they all met. They had a meeting, and they decided to do away with him.
Wow.
They killed him, and outside law enforcement came to investigate his death, and no one talked up to this day. No one has said who killed him. There was collective vigilance. You know, the city of Medina, the city of the prophet in Saudi Arabia, the first Islamic community established on the earth, when that community was established, there was not a police force. The citizens themselves policed themselves.
Absolutely.
They police themselves. It is reported that this man came to the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, and said, yes, we saw such and such. drinking liquor. The Prophet Muhammad said, well, why are you telling me? Why didn't you stop him? See? We have to become actively involved. We can't take an aloof, say, well, that's none of my business. Yes, it is. It's the community in which you live. So there are small townships whereby everyone looks out for each other. They police themselves. So that's possible. But that is what they desire to do. You have to want that. You have to want that. That every citizen is responsible for the communities in which we live.
Yes.
I'll stop right there, my sister.
Well, you know, you're all coming up with the components that make it possible. Pianki, do you remember who that place he's talking about?
Well, here's the thing, and we have to be truthful with this, too. Yeah, you can have a Harvey, a Woodlawn with no police force, no police department. In St. Louis, a Pine Lawn or Cool Valley or St. Anne, you can have those without police department. But you still have a county sheriff. And that county sheriff is still providing that protection. Now, citizens have to be armed.
I live in Pine Lawn, Kiaki. I live in Pine
Lawn. I know
you
do, that's why I mentioned it.
But North County Police Force, they patrol this area.
They came up with a North County. It's a North County cooperative where the communities agree that they have this central group of police officers that they sign on to and they pay for. You're absolutely right. And the reason they've done away with those individual police departments like Wilson because he could no longer afford them in that capacity. So, yeah, you can have that, anything you want. But ultimately, you still have that county sheriff who's in charge, basically, in that area. And let me tell you the powers that the sheriff has. FBI can't be coming up to your door. I keep forgetting your name. What's your name, sir?
Who, Kareem?
Kareem, yeah, I'm sorry. You know that comes with age, Kareem. FBI can't come up to your door and knock on the door. Kareem, I need to talk to you. No, they have to check in with the sheriff because the sheriff have what's called territorial jurisdiction. IRS has no policing powers. They can't leave. They come to your door, one, you laugh at them, say, send me a letter. That's their protocol. So all that goes together hand in hand. And then, too, I asked L.A., what is the ethnicity of these communities that you're talking about that don't have no police department? That also plays a major part because with ethnicities come cultures. And cultures that where you don't instill that authority respect for, then you have these problems. And, you know, however a child is raised, they grew up into an adult that shows these deficiencies. So it all come hand in hand.
So one of the things that we're looking at is being able to be self-managed where no one has to patrol because no one is choosing to violate the rules. People are simply choosing to violate the rules. And, Kareem, you said something earlier about, you know, that first Islamic society. Well, of course, that was a group of people that were choosing to live according to a set of values. And
it was a multi-ethnic and multi-religious community.
But what made them cohesive was a collective agreement to live according to higher principles. That was each individual's decision within that community to live according to higher principles, one of those being that you don't alter your brain with alcohol, which makes you then misbehave. And if everybody in the community is agreeing to that, then everybody has to choose to agree to that. And there's nobody making you follow that rule other than yourself. And so, and the example that you given when the man told the prophet about the woman, I mean, about the man who was drinking, well, okay, we all agree that we're not going to drink. So you had the ability to remind him, you know, I'm not going to go and beat him down because he's drinking. You could have reminded him, oh, we agreed we're not going to drink. And then the man, of course, would have self-corrected to, oh, that's right, I shouldn't be doing this. So the question is, how do we get to that state where everybody simply agrees not to violate anyone else with their behavior? That's what higher evolved societies have done. There's a collective agreement, just like the communities that LA mentioned, where you can sleep with your door open because everybody has agreed not to steal. So what is it that makes that happen? That's the question, and we'll get to that after we take the next break. And I believe you got a caller on your line, Kareem?
Yes. Yes. Error code 8312671.
Okay, you're next. We got to take a break. We'll take you up next. And I just want everybody to think about, would you be one of those people who were willing to agree to live without hurting anybody else, without stealing, without committing an act of violence? Because it was said earlier, most people are the ones obeying. Most people. So it's not everybody that everybody has to fear. It's a very small percentage, and yet we've created a society where we believe we need to have this occupying army. What is that next step we need to take in order to be a policeless society? We'll talk about that and share with you a higher evolved society in which they do not have police. And this is what they did. But we'll take a break and come back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, we want you to give us a call, 515-605-9325 or 515-605-9891. And press 1. To share your thoughts, and if you're on our switchboard now, press 1. We'd love to hear your thoughts. We're working towards creating a policeless society. And we'll be right back after this break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hamid and our American Muslim 360 family. And we have asked the question, and we'll answer the question, what would it take to create a policeless society? Well, such things do exist and have existed on Earth before, and certainly can exist again, but there are things we must choose to do. And we're talking about that today and collectively examining what mindset has to change in order to create a society where we are not living in fear of each other and do not need an armed military force to keep order. It is possible. So we're back, and I believe Minister Plump, it's your turn to speak on this topic. What would it take to create a policeless society?
Hallelujah. Well, in Yashalom, we don't die, we multiply. Black is beautiful with some black power. Education is the very, very best we can do. And I am yours truly, Minister Plump, Robert Floyd Plump from Chicago, Illinois. And part of the solution is, and a major part of the solution is self-healing. And God's will only is a part of the major part of our self-healing. You know, Brother Kareem, I've been working on what you've been asking me to do, and that is to come up with some freedom, justice, equality, and economic plans. And one of the things that we have is fundraising unlimited, which is Black Love Matters Too, which is T-shirts, and on the that's on the front, and on the back is we hold ourselves accountable for the conditions of our communities. Support our efforts as we exercise change. And that is the one thing that's the major part of us as a community, which is connected with the village. We are Outreach Village. When I say we are talking about the Harold Washington Foundation and the People's Marching Corporation. Sister Naima, fear is something that is taught to the mindset of people that is weak, fear and hate of yourself. So we come up with a self-healing type of program because D, as we say, the female solution equals to 23. Then we have to start blessing ourselves and each other in a nonviolent family orientation of black spirit to our love spirit. I would put that in front, love spirit to our sons and our daughters to help save our children, which is a priority that we must continue to share the thought of what the Honorable Mayor Washington said. We must, the Mayor Harold Lee Washington said, we must plump the whole community. So we are plumping it up in peace, love, unity, marketing people, and that is really not only Chicago, but America and the world. And we must do it together as a village and in order to reach, you know, one world, one universe, and one opportunity that we can share unity in the community, black and black love, and information is a key to success.
I agree.
I like to end up with, we got a few Savior's Day tickets that we can share with brothers and sisters, and they can check in with me with the Harold Washington Foundation .info or call me direct at 312-671-2773. And Brother Kareem and Brother Fianchi, yes, out of St. Louis, I want y'all to get in touch with me personally, and we're going to see about correcting, see, our wrong as a people and as a community. I remember when we used to sleep in Mississippi in Hattiesburg, we used to sleep with the doors open too. And we didn't even have no black policemen, but we have to make sure that even if we got black policemen or any kind of policemen, that, you know, they don't mean no harm to the black community. And the most important thing is that, yes, we can. Yes, we can, Sister Naima. We can accomplish a mission, and I'm one of the men on a mission for God. And we got to go back to God. God's love and respect is everything. God bless you here. We love you. Keep up the good work.
Well,
all
thank
the brothers
you
and sisters on the Female Solution.
We thank you for so much.
I'll call you, Mr. Plum. I'll call you.
Some more callers. You know, as we speak, people are coming up with the things that we'll be hearing in a little while, the qualities of higher evolved societies. And higher evolved societies are those in which there are no police because people are agreeing to live according to a higher standard. So as we speak and people are sharing their thoughts, we're actually showing that we really have the answers. One of the things, L.A. said, everybody knows everybody. There's no anonymity. Everybody is a member of the community. The second thing, and Minister Plum said, we take responsibility for the condition we've created. We're not blaming anybody, not pointing any fingers, not saying they did this, they did that. Everybody is taking responsibility for what they do. And the third thing that was mentioned, that people are deciding to live according to a higher standard of behavior. It's an agreement. No one's making you. You choose that this is how you want to live. And you remind people, if they forget, that we're now living according to this higher standard, so that people can correct themselves. So far, we're coming up with all of the ways, all of the qualities of a higher evolved society that we'll hear about on in this audio presentation in just a moment. But I want to continue to hear from our callers, and we'll take a caller on your line, and then we'll go to 773-450 and then 779-801. So let's take another caller on American Muslim 360, and then we'll take these two calls.
Okay, Erica, 401-258. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Angela Marie from North Providence, Rhode Island.
You know,
alhamdulillah,
and I'm so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're up and about, Brother Kareem. Sometimes I get a little bit upset because I hear you stutter a little bit, but I think I know what to mean. But whatever health issues you have, it's the cause of. But Allah still have you strong. But I wanted to say that no matter what community we have or what religion or way of life, there's always two sides to a person. And even though everybody can say, I'm with you, and it might look like everybody's with you, everybody is not with you. I mean, everybody isn't. That's why there's shaitan. Because if we all were perfect, there wouldn't be no shaitan. There wouldn't be no need to strive. And so even if you could leave your doors open and no one steals from you, there's always somebody there that looks like they're with you, that they're not with you. So you're still going to have protection against the ones that might seem like they're with you, but they're with you only to infiltrate, or maybe when everybody's doors is open, let to go in and help themselves when nobody don't know who the person is. Just like even in the Nation of Islam, we have infiltrators in everything. Now we got infiltrators in everything, community. Everybody's not with you. So what I'm saying is that you can talk to people till you're purple in the face, but everybody is not going to be who you want them to be. So there has to be some type of checks and balances and consequences for those who are not perfect, because Allah did not make any of us perfect. We're striving for perfection, but we are not perfect people. And as you see Turkey and Syria, there was consequences. Allah didn't just do that to them because he wanted to rip them up, tear them up on the floor, tore them up on the floor. He didn't just do that just because he wanted to kill almost 1,000 people. People disobey. And so in every community, you want this perfect, but there's no place on this earth that's a Shangri-La. And there's going to be outsiders that might come in to visit or whatever, that might disobey your rules and regulations. So you have to also figure out, okay, what are going to be the checks and balances, and how are we still going to protect ourselves for those who might even be amongst us that do not want to obey, or outsiders? How are we going to protect our women, our children, our men, and everybody within this community that everybody wants to follow a righteous way of life? Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. You know,
well, thank you,
neighbor, the neighbor, at one time we cared about our neighbors, you know. That's something that has to be a necessary ingredient in our lives, to meet neighborly needs, to care about the neighbor.
Well, that is the key thing, isn't it? If you care about your neighbor, then your neighbor doesn't have to steal from you because you're going to share what you have, and therefore your neighbor's not living in fear of lack. So that's a key component in creating a society where policing is not necessary because people are sharing and not withholding what others need. Caring for your neighbor. And I'm sure that was probably a part of the communities that you all in LA talked about, these smaller communities where people could leave their doors open at night. People didn't have to steal. They could just ask. And, you know, if you need help, people just give it to you.
Yep.
So in that kind of situation, what do you don't need an enforcer. People are choosing to be kind. That's all. We've got a couple of callers on the line. Area code 773-450 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thought about what would it take to create a police society.
Grand Risings, good morning. Hallelujah, greetings, and assalamu alaikum to the brothers and sisters out there. Yeah, you know what's interesting to me is it's got to be just a total change period. We grew up, you could just walk down the street, people waved at folks, they didn't even know. They just did it. You could walk the street, you didn't think about somebody carjacking you, jumping you, beating you up, or none of that. And then the people were different. We're young people, we just fought, dropped books, and swung fists. Within an hour, we're friends and going right down the road. Today, you got to come back with a cowardly pistol and shoot people up. But look at what has changed. What are people watching on television? They have a movie they call Wakanda Forever. It was so violent, I almost threw up. You know, how is that helping black people when you're watching violence that's supposed to be entertainment? Who came up with that crazy idea? They made sex and violence sort of kind of blend together. And this is what they do in almost any of these sitcoms, any of these insane programs that people sit up and watch on television. What is wrong with people? How are you going to sit there and promote violence and make the bad guy the good guy and people are not going to follow that type of foolishness? Come on now. So what we got to do is create just a totally new paradigm, one that does not focus on me, mine, I, one that focuses on we, us, and our, because we all need each other. But, you know, society's created division. Oh, your religion's different. Oh, you look a little different in color. Oh, they always create division for what reason? We all need each other. If you were falling and going to die and somebody reached down and grabbed you, would you ask them what religion they are when they help you? Or would you just say thank you? We got too many issues that have been created by society that does this sort of thing. Why do you think people all of a sudden got this thing about, oh, I'm going to go around and kill up 50 people, the last guy that got down for it? That's the society we live in. It's insane. I mean, you just walk up to sit in your car and you just got to get into the car. I mean, what type of society do we have with young people that think they can just push their grandmama down, steal her car, and take up her? Now, who does that? What type of society are you living in that does that? Maybe that's the society that moves all the old people in the neighborhood and just get worse. Because I remember grandpa stayed in the neighborhood and reported everybody did things in order. They watched, they had watched flowers. But now society said, move them off the front porch, move them to a senior citizen. And you got all the old people hidden away so the neighborhoods are full of hell. So what do you do with that? You have to start a whole new paradigm because that me, mine, I, violent stuff, that don't work. And sadly, it's say, I don't even watch that stuff on TV. Man, I'd rather step outside and have some symphonies from the birds or anything other than that type of thing. So until they stop doing that, the number one movie is a violent movie, the number one show is violent, what are the people going to do if they're not going to just keep being violent based on you teaching them? Cut it out. Stop watching. Change the paradigm. Get in touch with each other. We need each other. But anyway, if you can do it, you can do it. We'll be part of the next paradigm. Or otherwise, they're just going to wipe each other out. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you so much, Obadiah.
Thank you.
You
what Obadiah is saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we have been numbed down, not just dumbed down, but we have been numbed down. We have to speaking of policing, we have to police what you expose your senses to, what your sensitivities have been programmed. You looking at violence and sex incessantly, eventually, that shapes your value system, your ways of behavior, your senses become numb. You know, sensitive, having an emotional nature becomes numb, becomes void. No emotions, just programmed. We have to care about one another. And so I agree with him. Turn the television off. be very careful about what we allow our children to see by way of social media. I know that's a heavy lift, but if we are to change, then we have to change what enters us. It does not come from outside of, from inside of us. Something has been placed externally inside of us that we behave in such a way, that we behave in such a way. We have to be aware of our five senses, and don't expose your five senses to violence. Matter of fact, I saw a documentary yesterday on addiction, this fentanyl scourge and the heroin scourge that is taking this country by storm, We have to take a good look at that. Fentanyl is a legal substance. It's manufactured legally, but it is being introduced into the heroin stream and overdoses thousands by the thousands. So these are things that we must address also. This addiction problem that you, that United States citizens have, the idea to find peace from a foreign substance, to find peace. That is what the human being desires, is peace. And they have to artificially induce their perception of peace. Something is wrong.
Absolutely.
In this country. Something
Yes.
is wrong in this country. And that's a money-making.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, my sister. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I was going to say, well, as you said, and as Obadiah said, when you get sick of seeing this, you're going to choose to stop inflicting this upon yourself. When you choose to stop looking at the violence, when it's no longer entertainment. He said looking at the movie made him sick. You know, I movies like that, I was, you know, I can't watch them. Because I don't want to feel the distress of the violence that I'm seeing. And people who still find that thrilling, well, they are being affected mentally. But nobody can make you not watch it. You do have the power to choose not to watch it.
Self-responsibility. So
everything... Everything is about personal responsibility. What do we hear? Take responsibility for creating the condition. Take responsibility for what you put in your own soul. Take responsibility for what you put in your own mind through your eyes and ears. Take responsibility and choose not to induce distress by watching distressful things. Make that decision. So we have the power to change the world we're living in. It's a choice. And in higher evolved societies, everybody makes that choice. That's why there's not a need for police. Everybody is exercising their free will to live in a state of peace. We have many people who are already choosing that. The challenge we have is, how do you deal with the people who have not seeing the intelligence of making that choice, and therefore their behavior is harmful? So we're believing that what we have to do is hire people to control them. But that doesn't work, because it produces what we have now. People who, like Deanna said, got post-traumatic stress disorder from constantly dealing with the worst of human behavior, so they become the worst behaving human beings, and they begin to treat everybody as if everybody is a criminal that needs to be repressed. So that system doesn't work. Having a police force to keep us safe doesn't keep us safe. What keeps us safe is everybody being transformed to the higher consciousness of choosing
to live a peaceful life. That's what was demonstrated in the earlier Muslim societies. People were choosing higher consciousness. They had learned a way of thinking and behaving in which they chose to treat their fellow neighbors. They chose to keep the peace.
Peace was the clue. Mm-hmm.
And it was by free will. No one was making them. They were choosing. And that's what made the society peaceful. So when people get an understanding of what's in their best interest, that makes sense. And that's what transforms the society. So the thing that we need to do is doable. Our first step is to believe that it's doable and then to do the things necessary that makes it manifest. So
you know,
that's our next step.
Naima?
Yes.
Our urges, you know, say, well, yeah, I've got an urge to do such and such a thing. I've got an urge to focus on academics. That is one of the first. That's the line of defense. Our appetite. We have to be very careful about what we expose our appetites to, and our urges. Addiction is no more than overemphasized urges. Now all of a sudden, since this heroin addiction is hitting the majority community, now they are coming with the reality that this is not a moral problem. This is not a criminal problem. This is a medical and psychological problem. And we need to come at it at that. What is fueling this crime of larceny? Of larceny, taking people's cars, selling them to a chop shop. What is fueling that? That heroin epidemic. And
physical addiction.
With it being laced with fentanyl, the overdose numbers have exploded. It's almost an elimination of human beings. Let's reduce the population. Fentanyl is produced legally by drug companies. Legally. And it has been introduced into the addiction industry.
Yes.
There's an industry surrounding.
Yes.
You see a lot of rehab institutions. Send them here. Rehab. And they get paid for every head, for every body, every person that enters that facility. But it's not being addressed from a medical point of view, a medical and psychological point of view. So I'll stop right there. We are being manipulated, people. But
absolutely,
it does take personal responsibility, though, of what you expose yourself to. People will misuse your urges. I'll stop right there, my sister.
Well, you know, that's really been one of the major motivations for criminal behavior is the addiction to drugs. People are trying to satisfy not just an urge, but a demand of the body. Withdrawal is very physically painful. So that has been the impetus for a lot of criminal behavior. But if you can help the person get off the addiction rather than criminalize addiction, if you address what caused the problem in the first place, whatever emotional distress that they couldn't handle without relying on the drug, then you can solve the problem. But like you said, mm-hmm. it's become an industry. And once again, taking advantage of people and making money off of their distress. And that's why we have an escalating crime problem when we could have eliminated the crime altogether and therefore eliminate the need for crime-fighting police. So we're going to take our last break, and I want to share with you a bit of an audio after we take our next caller, 336-350, coming to you next. And then we'll share a bit of an audio and then talk about the possibilities for creating a new society in which there is no need for police. It is doable. What are the steps to make that happen? We'll be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back after this quick message, so stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Relationships,
Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and we've been asking the question, what would it take to create a policeless society? We're going to take another call, and then I'm going to share a little bit of audio with you. First, let me go to area code 336-350 and introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Grand Risings, Dr. Latif, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, loud and clear.
Excellent. Grand Risings to your listening audience, and especially this day, Brother Kareem. That documentary that you saw, I'd like for you to share it with me so I can view it today. Families, let me say something. Not in this lifetime. I don't mean to put a negative damper on it, but not in this lifetime will we see more of a community coming together, because like Brother Kareem said, it is something wrong, and it oh God, it just gives me freaking chill bumps to think about it. You know, I had hip surgery last year or year before last or whatever, and I fell last year in November the 9th, 9/11. I never will forget it, and it was so bad. I bent this mechanism. I sent it to Sister Zelda. I bent the doggone thing, and I pushed it up even more in my side, in my chest. And my caregiver, he couldn't wait. He says, "Paris, I got to call 911 because this doesn't look good." You know, the paramedics pushed fentanyl. I never heard of fentanyl, family. I mean, it was like they were automatic on robot. We got fentanyl. We're giving you. I was in so much pain. At that moment, I did not care what they gave me, because the doggone thing was bent and it cracked my bones.
Oh my!
What I'm saying, yes. Yes, I'm, the doctors won't even acknowledge that, but I'm looking at the doggone x-ray right now. I had it blown up. I sent it to Sister Zelda. This is serious,
mm-hmm.
People. They were really insisting on fentanyl, and I took it. But like my mother used to say, the creator takes care of all damn fools and babies. Okay, let me tell you something, people. You better pay attention to what is being put in your elders' bodies. You must care about your elders because what they're doing, they're not only spraying in the air, the chemtrails, they're putting stuff in the elders' bodies, to in anybody's bodies, but especially the elders, to get them off the freaking planet. I know this because this happened to me. And I'm so grateful that the Creator made me aware of fentanyl and all of this business about it, because let me tell you, I'm still here with all of the discomforts I have every day. I'm grateful that I was able to get through to this day, family, to be a part of this show. I'm serious.
Well, we
got
you.
Issues, Gus. Peace.
Thank you. Peace. And we thank you for sharing that, because
thank
one of the things, and yes, we appreciate you reminding us that one of the qualities of a higher evolved society is that you take care of your elderly and you strive to keep people healthy and not just profit from their sickness. So the things that we have done in the society that we're living in is what creates the problems that we're having. And we've all said it. We've all heard. We've heard what we have done that caused this. We have created situations where people are addicted to drugs, and then we criminalize it. We've created situations where people are living under stress of not being able to have basic necessities, and so they steal. We've created a society where people are being fed violence as entertainment, and it affects their brain, and it excites them to acts of violence. We've done this. We made this mess, and we hate it. And we keep thinking we can, for those people who have been negatively affected by what we created, we want to have control them. But the people that we put over people to control them, those people are out of control. They are in a state of emotional and mental distress. So that doesn't work. What does work is all the things that we've said. We agreeing to live as a community, agreeing to care about each other, agreeing to share, agreeing to care for our elders, agreeing to strive toward health and wellness and not profit off of people's sickness, agreeing to care about each other's well-being, and agreeing not to take from each other or violate each other in any way. Agreeing. That's all it takes. So what is it that would make the people who don't agree? We're thinking, well, if we punish them or have them fear punishment, that will make them behave. Well, that hasn't worked in all these thousands of years. So now I want to just play just 5 minutes of a dialogue. And you may have heard of this author. We're going to work on getting him on the show, on programs all over the world. He's written a series of 9 books entitled Conversations with God. And it's very profound in changing minds of people to realize that they do have the power to create a better world if they just make the decision to be one of the higher evolved beings that agree not to harm others. And so I'll just play about 5 minutes of this dialogue, and then we'll talk about the possibility of us all tuning into that voice of God that gives us guidance and reminds us of the higher self that we are. And if you have not heard of Neil Donald Walsh, this is a bit from his audio textbook, Book 3, Conversations with God. And I'll let a bit of that play, and then we'll talk about what we've heard. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see if I can turn up the volume a bit. And one of the things that makes this a book series that's been translated into languages around the world, is that it speaks to your soul and reminds you of your higher self that you can choose to be at any time. And once you do that, then you no longer are a person who someone else has to come and manage. You choose to manage yourself.
Hello, my name is Neil Donald Walsh. What you're about to hear is a portion of a 6-year dialogue, which is in the trilogy I have called Conversations with God. This program contains material from the third volume of that trilogy and touches on subjects such as the fastest way to wisdom, the 5 natural emotions and how to use them as our friends, and the nature of psychic ability. Also in this volume is a discussion of the origin of the myth of Satan and a wonderful clarification of the nature of time and how all things are happening at once. Now, if you're coming to the Conversations with God material for the first time, a brief explanation may be in order here. In 1992, I had reached a low point in my life. Nothing was working. My relationships were falling apart. My career was coming to an end. Even my health was failing. In anguish and despair, I called out to God, looking for answers to the questions which plague all of us at moments like that. What does it take to make life work? And what have I done to deserve a life of such continuing struggle? One night I awoke in a fit of anger and wrote all these questions out on a yellow legal pad. To my astonishment, even as I wrote them, I began to receive answers. I found my pen moving effortlessly as I wrote out the thoughts being given to me by what I can only describe as a voiceless voice. I was receiving answers to my questions, and all I had to do was take the patient. Yes, I did, intermittently for 6 years, engaging in an ongoing dialogue, covering an extraordinary range of topics. For once I started receiving answers, I did not stop asking questions. This program is an audio presentation of a portion of that material. Because I received this dictation from a voiceless voice, that is, a voice having neither male nor female characteristics, it was important to me that the words of God on the audio program be assigned to both a man and a woman, so that the voice would not be gender-specific. I want to thank Edward Edgar and Ellen Burst for reading this material with me and making it come alive. As we open this portion of the dialogue, I'm keenly aware that I'm not worthy to represent myself as a man of God or a messenger of truth. I should be the last person to assume that role, or even to presume to. I do an injustice to the truth by presuming to speak it, when my whole life has been a testimony to my weaknesses. For these reasons, I ask God to relieve me of my duties as his scribe, and that to find someone else whose life renders them worthy of such an honor. Here was God's answer.
I should like to finish what we started here. No, you are under no obligation to do so. You have no duties to me or anyone else, though I see that your thought that you do is that you'd like me.
Well, I've let some people die, including my own children.
Everything that has happened in your life has happened perfectly in order for you and all the souls involved with you to grow in exactly the way you needed and wanted to grow.
That's a perfect out, constructed by everyone in the New Age, which is to escape responsibility for their actions and avoid any unpleasant outcomes. I feel that I've been selfish, incredibly selfish, most of my life, doing what pleases me, regardless of its impact on others.
There is nothing wrong doing what pleases you.
But so many people have been hurt, let down.
There is only the question of what pleases you most. You seem to be saying that what now pleases you most are behaviors which do little or no damage to others.
Putting it mildly.
On purpose. You must learn to be gentle with yourself and stop judging yourself.
Well, that's hard, particularly when others are so ready to judge. I feel I'm going to be an embarrassment to you, to the truth. If I insist on completing and publishing this trilogy, I'll be such a poor ambassador for your message as to discredit it.
You cannot discredit truth. Truth is truth. And it can neither be proven nor disproven to me. The wonder and the beauty of my message cannot and will not be affected by what people think of you. And you are one of the best ambassadors to the device in a way that you call less than perfect. People can relate to you, even as they judge you. And if they see that truly sincere things mean or sordid to past, then I tell you this, so long as you are still worried about what others think of you, you are owned by them. Only when you require no approval from outside yourself, you own yourself. message sent from me. I was concerned that the message would be besmirched. Concerned about the message, then get the message out. Do not worry about besmirching it. The message will speak for itself. Remember what I have taught you. It is not nearly so important how well a message is received as how well it sent.
And that's just a beginning portion. I want to share a bit with that. We're going to be looking to have this author on the show at some point and share also more of this dialogue, which basically reminds us that we are here to create the kind of society in which people choose to live according to higher ideals. And there's nothing stopping us. And each person who makes that choice is one more person who's making that choice not to violate another. Our goal has to be that we return to that state of oneness where everyone is choosing to be a part of a society that cooperates and interacts and no one harms another. And one of the key components in that is that we have to care about each other enough to share and help each other heal if we're in pain or in sickness. And when we do that, then we remove the reasons why people are violating each other. So it's a process, but the first is the thought that we can't do it. When we undo that thought, then it becomes clear that we can do it. We just need to include the people who we believe have to be controlled through violence when in fact they don't. They just need to be enlightened. They just need to be reminded.
Naima?
Yes.
If I may, I want to share a network that I saw the documentary on. It is
yes.
the network Tubi. T-U-B-I, and it is simply named Addiction. That's all.
And how do people reach that network? Is it online?
I accessed it through my cable service, a television.
Mm. So look for T-U-B-I. And you might even be able to find it streaming online. Some cable stations also have a live streaming as well.
YouTube might have.
And look
it's
up.
It's very important to look at that.
Yes.
It's
because we
entitled Addiction.
Yes. And we really do want to help people get off of addictions and not criminalize them. Because they're not people who are criminal in intent, they're merely trying to get out of pain. So this is the first step, and I thank all of you all for participating in this conversation today. We do believe that our goal, our ultimate destiny, is to live in a way that there is peace and harmony. Each of us has to make the choice. And when we do, then all of us will be living.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archive at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, 谢谢.
Tubi,
India,
TV,
Zanyaban, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Geret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.